Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
I should probably remake the show intro too.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no lames on the track when we unite and spit. This is an A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no lames on the track.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
I'm all right. I'm just looking at all the stuff because you changed the logo unilaterally, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I got to change the video intro. We got to put a new banner up. We got to do this and that. It's completely a different color scheme now.
Yeah. Like, well, we don't have to be in a hurry because I did do it on a whim, and I'll tell you why.
You did.
Yeah. I just kind of did it without notice or anything, so... And here's why. And I actually wasn't planning on debuting it until Rich asked for it, because he saw that I was playing around the new logo. I was watching one of my favorite 49er podcasts. It's a Bay Area sports reporter named Larry Kruger, and he's on KMBR. He does like a YouTube channel out in San Francisco, and he was using the same Canva template that we had been using. And I was like, oh, that's kind of annoying, but I'm not too upset by it. And then I saw like two or three more on YouTube using the same damn Canva template that we were using. I was like, okay, I got to go something to go completely original. I can't be having everybody use the same template. That just gets on my nerves. So I switched it all up, but I really like the way it looks.
That's the problem with templates, is that there's nothing original about them, and anyone can do them who has access to, well, Canva in this case. And Canva is just like Photoshop for, you know, amateur hour. So, you know,
that's what it is. You're talking about me, sir. Yes. Hey, for years I've been using Canva because I don't know how to use Photoshop. In fact, in order to resize the photo that we use, I sent it to my wife, who does know how to use Photoshop, to get it 1400 by 1400 to get to Rich. I do a podcast with a guy who's like a literal Photoshop expert.
Like, well, I'm gonna say, you know, I actually teach this for a living. Like, I actually, that is literally my job, is I teach kids how to use Photoshop. Like, I use it every damn day. And I'm looking, I'm like, he didn't tell me about any of this stuff. I had no idea.
Yeah, but can you teach a 41-year-old master sergeant how to use Photoshop?
Mike, I could teach anyone to use Photoshop because all of my lessons are available on Google Drive, and all I have to do is give you access to all my files.
Shoot, we might do that.
I can't believe you haven't asked me for this over the last couple of years. I would have just given it to you.
Yeah. But hey, guys, we got a jam-packed show today. Believe it or not, a lot has actually happened. We're going to rehash some stories, but we got some updates on some of the biggest stories that we've been covering for a while. And when we get updates like this, we need to bring BJ Bethel on from SC Scoops because he's been covering the WBD TV deal, the Janelle Grant case. He's been covering everything. But before I bring him on, I do want to put him over because John Oran from the Sports Business Journal, he's from Puck now. He used to be SBJ. He's now part of Puck. In his latest newsletter, he confirmed essentially the WBD deal is done with AEW. But what was most interesting about it, and the reason why we're talking about it again today, is that he confirmed that basically the $170 million per year that had been floating around the internet by BJ Bethel is essentially accurate. That he said it's in the ballpark of what he's heard as well. There's a lot going on with that. So let's go ahead and bring on BJ Bethel. What's up, BJ?
Hi guys, how you doing? I hate Canva too. I can definitely tell which one of you is the film guy. You know, now I got to redo the intro. Now I got to redo this. But I've heard this a million. This is why I don't touch anything at work. It has anything to do with graphics. I'm a disaster at it. But thanks for having me on, guys. It's great.
I want to thank you because that number that is now being floated publicly showed up in our personal DM thread about 2 months ago. So. Turns out somebody's got good sources.
Well, yeah.
I meant us. We have good sources. You're our source. Thank you.
I mean, what I initially heard was, I mean, by the time this was all panned out, and from what I gathered from the deal, 170 was going to be what they would get. That would include what they have now on TV, plus, you know, streaming content to max. Now, what that ends up being, and the end all be all of things, I don't know. I think there's going to be a pay-per-view component to this. I think that's going to come as they start moving that onto the Max platform and making that available. Cause right now they don't have the ability to do that. But the 170 million, that's kind of been in the ballpark. I've heard, I mean, during all of this, I've heard anything from 160 to 200 by the time they're done. Obviously it's huge money. It's huge for them. This is a 2% gain over their previous contract. This makes them profitable. They got some really good years out of this, 3 years guaranteed plus a fourth year option. Their last couple contracts have been 3-4 year deals. So this matches with that. I think a phenomenal job by them. And, that was the numbers I was hearing pretty early on. You know, that was kind of what I think they both sides pretty much knew what they were going to be at early. I think it was just where things were going to end up and what was going to get shown. You know, where is going to all depend on what ends up getting where. And the hardest things in these deals is like, okay, how do you calculate what streaming's worth? How do you calculate what pay-per-views are worth? Things like that.
So what we're looking at right now with the 170, and I just want to just so that we're clear, is we're looking at 170 is the existing television content, which there might be a little bit discrepancy. Dave Meltzer kind of had something. We'll talk about that in a sec. But the
that
existing
could be off a little bit, but I think that's pretty close to what the number is going to be close to when they have when the final WBD package is done. I think it's going to be around 170.
Yeah. So 170 for the existing TV content that will also then be either streamed. Co-streamed on Max or just become available on Max, kind of like what WWE and Hulu has right now, right?
Yeah. You'll see that where the old shows will be popping up there like they have been in some international markets, plus the library, things like that. Yeah. I don't know if that includes Ring of Honor's library. I don't know what is going to happen with them. With all the TV that's going to be added to this deal, I imagine there's going to be some changes where they're going to need a lot of bodies and talent to, you know, film all this new TV.
Yeah. So Dave did mention, Dave Meltzer on the Wrestling Observer Radio, that it's possible. No, I think it was just on his website. Sorry. He mentioned on the website that it is possible that Rampage could be going away and that Shockwave would then be taking over. Shockwave would be the proposed new television show. Man, God, do we need another new television show? But new television show that could be heading, that they're shopping around to broadcast networks, which is what John Oran was saying. Their FS1 has been tossed around out there, which would not be broadcast, but cable. With Rampage going away, could you see Dynamite going to 3 hours?
I don't think so. I just think with so much product, I think it would be really hard for them to do. And I think what you'll see more likely is Collision moving off of Saturday. I think that's some Jay Fowler kind of broke that. I mean, he did break that. He put that out on Twitter. But he put out that the Collision's probably moving off of Saturday, maybe to Thursday or another night of the week. But that would be likely what happens with that. Just because with college football coming up, it hasn't got the ratings close to what Dynamite has. And I think a lot of that's going to depend on what happens with the Fox deal. I know that right now, from what I understood when I was here, I was not the first person to hear about the Fox deal until somebody else reported. I can't remember who was the first person who mentioned that FS1 and Fox.
Andrew Zarian.
He's kind of the guy on this stuff.
Yeah.
He's really the guy. He's really deep into this. And Zarian had it first, but I hadn't heard anything about any of the broadcast networks getting pitches either until Oran's article came out a couple of days ago in his Puck newsletter. But I think they'll probably get 20 to 30 million out of the whatever show they deliver to FS1 or Fox. I know a lot of people I've talked to think that's way too high for something that will go on FS1, but I think they also need something that can drive content and it is an original show to help that network out. Because right now, the only thing that's getting live beings over there is sports games, live sports, just like everything else. But I think it's interesting that you're seeing all this movement. You're seeing other players involved. Charter just signed a big deal with Warner Brothers Discovery that kept them at the same carriage fees as they had when they still had the NBA, which is a big deal for them.
That's a big win because they were worried that they would lose. So for those of you guys that don't know, WBD with their cable networks, this is how they make their money, is through carriage fees through Comcast, Spectrum, and Charter, and all the local cable companies, as well as advertising. But this is a big source of the revenue. So they were afraid that by losing the NBA, they would be less prestigious and that their carriage fees would go down. But that did not happen with Charter.
So carriage fees, definition of carriage fees, that's the money that the network, the cable systems actually pay Warner to have their network on there. So like we throw those terms around, but I don't think a lot of people really understand what that means.
Yes, that's true.
They're getting money just to have the network on there. And like Mike was saying, the worry was without the NBA, they were worthless essentially. But apparently that is not true because Charter is one of the biggest cable systems in the US still. So for them to keep that's a massive deal for WBD in general.
Oh, it's huge because that covers also Spectrum. Mm-hmm. Spectrum's owned by Charter. And it just how I learned it, somebody explained this to me one time is you pay your cable bill. And that money goes in your cable bill, goes to the companies that are the channels on your cable network. So that's what the carriage fees are. So them getting the same value that they had for having the NBA, that's a huge deal for them. So that was a big win for WBD. I think that's good news for them, especially as they're trying to attract. They're trying to work with other networks. I kind of like this deal, how they're trying to work with other networks on, trading sports leagues around, trading games around, trying to get involved in the college football playoff. I think that's a good thing that they got going. I also think that, I like the way they've done how they've handled kind of the post TNT, or not, I keep saying TNT when I say NBA, but how they've handled kind of the post NBA deal with this, where they've been kind of aggressive. They're signing, they got AEW under wraps. They're looking at getting the Big East basketball. They're going to be showcasing it on True TV. They're not shying away from sports. in trying to get into, you know, reality shows or something like that. They're actually rebranding True TV to be TNT Sports for, you know, in a prime time hours. So, and all this works really well for AEW.
Yeah, absolutely. And because, as we've been saying, everybody felt that when the NBA left WBD, that those channels essentially would not fold, but they would take a big hit. Now they still are going to take a big hit. Like, Big East basketball is nowhere near as popular as the NBA, but still, like, they're leveling out. They're not completely giving up on live sports. And I think that's a good sign for those channels, but specifically for AEW. Now with the pay-per-view component, with Max, it looks like you're probably going to get either like live rights or next day rights to all the TV shows. Now, with the pay-per-view component, I think Sean Ross Sapp was the one that said that he believes that that would be a separate deal altogether, kind of like what WWE did with Peacock, how Raw and SmackDown are with USA. That's a separate deal. But the pay-per-view right deal with Peacock is completely separate. Now, we're looking at them being a separate deal and the pay-per-view is just being part of your Max subscription, or are they looking at possibly like doing individualized pay-per-views on the Max platform like they do on BR Sports? Or is we talking about a next level sports tier on HBO Max, which is what I think they people have been thinking is becoming, or do we not know yet?
I don't think we're gonna really know yet. Yeah. I think there's a lot that's gonna evolve out of this. It's not, you know, the deal starts in January and they've been selling the way you can kind of tell they knew this was done was that they've been selling us for a while for two advertisers. You know, for a long time that they've been selling Dynamite and Collision. But I think you're going to see pay-per-view. It'll be more like maybe Bleacher Report moving to Max, where they'll move their pay-per-views off that into Max, where then the pay-per-view thing that they do, the tier, will be there. That's what I think it'll be. I just think right now it's just too – I don't think they can come to a number where they can kind of like see it and it's like, okay, you know, how do we agree on – how do we calculate what future pay-per-view values will be? You know, or how much this is worth, because, you know, as with buy rates, and, you know, excuse me, I've been kind of under the weather today, so my throat's kind of giving me some talking issues, but I think it's more along the lines of like, okay, what this could be evolving, but right now I think the plan would be if they get pay-per-view capability on Max, you would start seeing them just moving that from Bleacher Report to Max, which would be a great thing for AEW because there's a lot more people with Max than BR Report or Bleacher Report. And I think also it would also have all the other streaming content on there and things like that where you'd be able to watch old Dynamites and old Collision shows and old pay-per-views.
Yeah, because right now
I will tell you this. If I don't know any of this for certain like anybody else. I will tell you that if they managed to get $170 million per without any kind of streaming deal with Max, and that's going to be added on, then Tony Khan needs to be sent. Tony Khan and whoever his negotiating partners were that were helping negotiate this deal, this firm they hired, they should be sent to Gaza to help negotiate something between the Israelis and them, because that's incredible. I mean, that would be an incredible get for them. I mean, you're talking about a deal that was probably worth about 70 to 90 million. They've doubled that without any streaming. I mean, if what Sapp's reporting, and I think Oren may have reported something the same thing, if they got that kind of deal without the streaming element, that's fantastic. And that's without Fox being added. That would be one hell of a deal for them. So we'll see what happens.
Here's where I'm at with this. Is it's like this perception war that they've been losing for more than a year now. Like, this is a tremendous victory for everyone involved over there. Tremendous victory.
Oh, this is huge. This guarantees the survival of the company almost
for years to come. Yeah, for years to come. And this is like, what's wild is these grifters are going to keep moving goalposts because they have to. Like, they're so committed to the grift right now. So this is what's fascinating to me, is that they've succeeded. Fox essentially let's be real. Fox canceled SmackDown. They did not renew the contract. They can't. That's a cancellation, right? And if they were to pick up AEW in any way, shape, or form, that's just a massive, massive win.
Oh, for just public relations wise, this just public PR wise, it would be a huge victory for them, and it would put them on such another level as a company where you know, where people still in media reporting call them second tier. You can't call them that anymore. And I mean, even if you're kind of not, I mean, I don't think they're second tier at all. They're definitely big leagues. They've always been big leagues. You don't sign, you don't do the things that they've done and not be big leagues. You don't put 80,000 people in Wembley if you're not big league.
You don't pay
that. That's just a dumb, that's just the ignorant of being of the wrestling business. But you know, I've heard some dumb comments. I don't even know who they were associated with. One person was like, I think was commenting on a deal and said they didn't understand it because, you know, who needs AEW when WWE's now better and healthier?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know who said it, but that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was Brandon Ross from Lightshed who said it on Pollock and Thurston. Pollock and Thurston typically are have some of the soberest takes.
I've never heard of Lightshed or Brandon.
Yeah, because they're not wrestling media. That guy is more of like a generalized combat sports. He was there to talk more about the TKO stuff, and they're asking him AEW questions. And he didn't really seem more of like a casual type of guy, but he's very good about, I don't know if he's very good. This is the first time I ever heard the guy. But they brought him on because he seemingly, the rumor is he's knowledgeable about the TV business when it relates to combat sports. And so the comment was, if you're a WWE fan and WWE is good again, why do you even need AEW? That's the way that I took that comment. I didn't take it as a lot of people are saying that he was saying that like AEW shouldn't be in business. I don't think he was saying it like that. He was saying it like from a casual perspective, right? I think that's the way he was coming at it.
I think Mike's covering this guy's ass a little bit. I think this is classic LaGentle stuff. I think this is a guy who's clearly connected to Nick Khan, clearly connected to ensuring the TKO narrative. And I think that Pollock and Thurston gave him a platform with which to push some WWE PR, because what he actually said was that the company was so bad 5 years ago under Vince, because that's WWE mantra right now is bad man gone. Everything good now.
Yeah, so they're trying to push that.
For sure. So he's questioning why it's necessary to have an AEW. Because this is the problem. Like, we talked a lot about where TKO was bitching about AEW overvaluing contracts, specifically with Swerve and the offer to Daniel Garcia. They don't like it. TKO doesn't like the fact that there's another company that is now legitimately successful.
I gotta say, I'm really surprised that TKO and Triple H do not like the fact that a black athlete and another one whose last name's Latino got very good high paying deals. That seems to fit kind of into the narrative of how they operate.
BG, are you insane with a man that wore the Iron Cross on his gear for 20 years might have some issues?
Yeah, I mean, just the Booker T feud and some of the other Latino wrestling deals you've seen, you know, having a whole, you got Psychosis, who's one of the greatest luchadors that ever lived, riding a John Deere lawn tractor around going up and down the ramp.
They called him Juan Deers, by the way. I don't know if you guys remember that.
No, I didn't remember that. Thanks for that.
This is why you need an AEW. This is why Swerve Strickland, I think, put his all best and so eloquent when he on FS1's little special about Tony Khan yesterday before Dynamite aired, which interesting timing on that, by the way.
Yeah.
Just talking about, you know, this is the place that's getting everybody paid. It's getting you better. It's like Deonna Purrazzo is getting her master's degree because they have a tuition reimbursement program. You know, I know other wrestlers that have done that and other employees that have done it there. I know producers that have been doing that. It's made the entire business better. And for people that don't want that, they want to go back to the old days when they had people on the main event roster making 70, 80,000 a year and still having to pay for their own travel, which was not all that long ago. I'm sure AEW is a bad thing, but for us caring, nice human beings who really give a damn about each other and how these athletes, you know, are able to survive, it's a great thing.
Think about how great it is for Appalachia-based lawyers to be able to pursue frivolous lawsuits. Think about how much of a boon this is.
Yeah.
I
do have to correct the record. I was not covering Brandon Ross's ass. I don't even know who that guy is. I just listened to podcasts before the outrage on Twitter, and AEW fans are really sensitive about this stuff.
They are. They're very sensitive.
I did not really hear it that way. So I'm not covering Brandon Ross's ass. I didn't even know the guy's name until you mentioned it.
I just happen to like
Pollock and Thurston's podcast.
I do too. Usually,
I was just listening to
Brandon and John are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And people were coming after Thurston a little bit too, because Thurston said that, you know, they're getting this deal despite the fact that they've cooled down as far as popularity and perception goes. And people are coming after him like that, guys. That's true. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like he didn't say fact. A single thing that was wrong. Like they have cooled off quite a bit.
I thought the same thing Brandon thinks in that regard, because I was like, this is really going to hurt them ratings wise with the slippage. But it, you know, luckily my sources were on the TV side of things and they were telling me, well, they're putting a lot of this in perspective. They're the ones that have been telling me the numbers on this. If I had to guess at what the numbers on this deal would have been, I would have guessed 140, 150. And that's what AEW people were telling me what they think they would have got a year ago on Collision started, and their ratings were a lot better. And the demo was a lot hotter. And, you know, hearing, I got this number from people that I talked to within the business and in the TV side from 10 years of working as a journalist and being affiliated with TV. You know, that's people I knew and talked to. And I mean, it wasn't a number I came up with. I mean, I think they were very fortunate to get this deal considering, you know, some of the ratings falls they've had. It's not just a lot of it is they're losing viewership in households, but that demo is falling. I mean, that demo share is falling. They are not as popular as they were. Now that doesn't mean, but the thing is, and this is what TV people kept telling me, is they are a top five show.
Yes.
And it's impossible to make a top five show. It isn't, you can't make a top five show anymore. It's almost luck. And to get one, it finishes number one a lot of the time, is huge. And for people that think that this broadcast thing may not be a possibility, Dynamite beats a lot of the beats some of the Fox primetime programming during the week. Maybe not on Wednesday night or whatever going against it, but I know that this was something I know Dave Meltzer said, and I think maybe Brian Alvarez, Dave Meltzer, Mike Semper, VV, maybe it was Garrett. I can't remember because I've been binging podcasts trying to get as much information through this as I can, because I'm you know, all this, but not to make any excuses, but you know, this has been said by other people that they are beating primetime network programming in a lot of instances. This is something that this show has done since it started, and that's a big deal. And another factor to that is that they're advertising their advertising demographics are so much better fitted for network than what WWE's are. That makes them also a little bit more attractive. Plus they're cheaper.
So cheaper is a big key. They're going to save a lot of money with AEW. Yeah. Here's the thing that AEW fans have, like, I know, cause they're super sensitive. Like, you have to look at this like this. Yes. Your show is a lot less popular than it was, and it's still got a big deal. That's a win. That's a huge win. Don't get all up in your panties about that.
Yeah.
Be proud of that. Hey, I mean, we didn't have a great year and look what we did. That's awesome. Yeah. Brag about that.
I think it's, to me, the thing that I'm concerned about, I like it when I wish they had bigger crowds. To me, that's the sign that's of your, you know, the gates are a bigger issue, I think, than the ratings right now. You know, I like seeing, I miss the big crowds they had where all the lights are on and you hear all the, and people, I remember when Danielson was talking about this and Ruby Soho, your AEW moment, when you come in for the first time as a surprise and you get that blasting loud ovation that people hadn't heard since like Nitro or ECW was around, and wrestlers were really into that. I want to see those kind of crowds again, just as a fan, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, my care about the ratings is just I want WWE and AEW's ratings to be big enough that they can stay around.
I want to look at something from a historical point of view. When WWE signed the SmackDown deal in 2017, I believe is when the deal was signed. They didn't get on the show. They didn't get on the network until 2019.
Yeah, it was 18 months before they actually appeared on the network from signing.
So that was the bottom of WWE. That was when they were not selling. That was when they were in the shits, so to say, right? Yeah. So they signed this massive deal when they were at their least popular. And then look what happened, right? They got this deal.
Good lesson right there.
They got this big deal on Fox that exposed their program to a different generation of people. That's true. I see this from my kids in school. A lot of them learned about WWE through SmackDown, because it was on network TV, because it got cool. A lot of them started watching because they had Peacock. right? And all of a sudden, those pay-per-views became PLEs and became a lot more accessible. And this is something that Mike and I have been talking about for a long time on our show, is that having your program more accessible to people does a lot to help spread awareness of it. Because then all of a sudden, it seems really cool, right? Even when WWE and AEW had very similar crowds in 2021. Right.
Only I mean, AEW for the first two and a half years was almost always beating WWE's gates. If you took out the big four pay-per-views, I mean, there was Raws that had attendance around 3,000 at that period.
They used to own Chicago. They used to own New York. Right. They used to do a really good job, and they let things slip. I think Mike and I, we've talked about this. They let too many people that were Vince failures into the room, and they had some really bad booking. But I truly believe that perception is more important than anything else. If your company seems cool, people treat it like it's cool. And having more exposure to this company is going to help it. It is.
I think that's one reason why. No, that's great. I mean, that's great insight, and I'm glad you guys are talking about it. I think what you're saying, though, about through Peacock and how that helped them and helped them with a new generation, these fans are completely different fans than they had, and I don't think people understand the importance of that. But I also think that that this is something that was one reason why they were so happy to be on Netflix, and they're willing to give up all the international TV deals they had. And yeah, you're on a streamer with Raw. But you're also on the biggest streamer of them all, you know, and you got a huge contract, you know, it's backloaded, but that gives you, your audience to all these young people who have Netflix accounts, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're taking a little bit of a hit potentially financially, because I think with some of the international deals and like they could have actually, you know,
it's
gotten
a risk,
more money,
man. It's a huge the
exposure.
Risk.
They're what they give up in a little bit of money, they're making up for in exposure. I know a lot of people are not really, and I think they even said that on Pollock and Thurston, where they're like, you know, there weren't very many suitors for WWE whenever their deals were coming up, but they were able to somehow get this humongous deal from Netflix, which ended up, like, overall, if you take a look at it, what they could have made with all these different deals, they could have piecemealed together. They actually would have made more, but instead they went with the easy route, got the Netflix deal, and they're actually getting way more exposure. JD's absolutely right. The WWE being on Peacock exposed them to a whole new audience. I think that's been very beneficial, which is why I still contend to this day that all the pay-per-view Max subscription service, I think that would absolutely grow AEW's business. They might take a little bit of a hit up front on the pay-per-view business, but I think they'll grow because of it. That's if Max is not paying you know, premium dollar for whatever it is, 8-9 pay-per-views a year. But if they're somehow able to get, you know, a good dollar figure amount for the each pay-per-view, I think doing 12 a year on Max would absolutely grow that product and take it to another level.
I agree.
Yeah, well, especially because it's also international, because Max is in, like, you know, 100 million countries or something like that
too. And this is, and the other backside of this is WWE going to Netflix has been talked about a bunch, but them going to Netflix takes them out of a lot of international markets where they had deals that AEW is going to slide into.
Yeah.
So overall, this is working out pretty, really good for AEW. The biggest concern out of the two TV deals I see, because I know a lot of people think that 3 years isn't a long time. I think 3 years in this media market, guaranteed with a fourth option, at that, at double, but over at double, maybe more, I think is fantastic.
I think that's WWE, a win-win for both sides.
So much. I agree.
What's that?
I think that's a win-win for both sides, because if you look at it from AEW, they're getting almost, you know, they're getting double what they were getting for 3 years. They're locked in. And if you're WBD, if AEW's popularity continues to sink a little bit, you're not tied to them for very long. You're not locked into a 5 to 10 year deal like Netflix is with WWE. And if you do cancel them at some point, you'd ultimately have to pay that contract out if you cancel them early. So this way you'd 3 year deal, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So I think it works for both sides.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
It's good.
So while we got you here, BJ, there I was playing on Twitter, and I follow News Nation. That is like that's the news channel that I actually watch, because I feel like they're very like down the middle. You know, they're very down the middle that news channel, and I don't think any other news channel is. And all of a sudden, you pop up on there on their Twitter feed because they were covering the Janelle Grant updates on News Nation's Twitter feed. That's where I tagged you in. You were on News Nation's Twitter feed this morning, and I think they actually aired some of it on their channel. So News Nation's BJ Bethel is here on the show, everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't say that.
Yeah, yeah.
I work for their competitor right now. I'm not aware of this. Wow, it's fantastic.
They're the only cable news out there that's really kind of covering the story in depth.
Ashley Banfield has done a fantastic job of bringing people on. She's had Dave on. I mean, some of the guests haven't been the best. I think she may have had she had somebody on to discuss Ashley Massaro's case. I think it was the Herald attorney that did the huge class action claim, but she's really done a great job of covering this story with Vince McMahon and Janelle Grant, better than the other cable networks, I think. Yeah. They've really done a good job, and I like how their setup works. I mean, watching Chris Cuomo and Bill O'Reilly fight, it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I win no matter what. So.
But they were live streaming an update from Janelle Grant's attorney, Ann Callis. You were on there asking a question. So what is the latest that's going on with the case? I know she's hired a PR firm, like Weinstein's victims did. And they were really trying to get out front of this this Vince documentary that's debuting on Netflix next week.
Yeah, that's kind of it, from the press release. They even mentioned that in the first paragraph. And their story is that the name of the firm is SKDK. Is what they go by. It was SKD Knickerbocker is what a lot of people know it as. This is a highly big-time media relations firm. It works primarily with Democrat politicians. The current managing director was the former spokesperson for Joe Biden when he was vice president under Barack Obama. They also represented a lot of victims in the Washington Commanders suit against the owner, Daniel Snyder, that led to him selling the team. They represented a lot of people in the Harvey Weinstein suit. That's where they got a lot of their name play from. A lot of their work that people are probably most familiar with is through the Harvey Weinstein case, representing victims in that. They are a very big deal. To me, this signals that you're going to see a lot different approach from Janelle Grant's attorneys and counsel and her current reps and her new reps, which they're both, she now has two rep teams helping her out. I think this is going to signal a completely different approach where they want to get her story out and they want to get it out now. And that was kind of the voice today was, you know, with the McMahon's documentary coming out, and this was something it's funny, I kind of wrote a column about how Vince was treating all this like it was like another wrestling storyline. Mm-hmm. And Ann Callis used this term, is Janelle Grant is not a WWE storyline. She deserves to have her whole story told, and other survivors that have suffered in the company. And she mentioned the four people that had signed non-disclosure agreements recently for $12 million in the last couple of years. They deserve to have their stories told fully. And I think maybe that was one reason why they said they haven't seen the main documentary. A lot of people haven't. Nobody with the case, it was on the live stream, said they'd seen it. But they're hoping it shows a lot of what's happened with the victims and a lot of what's happened with him, you know, in the last several months, the last 2 years. But they made it clear they want to see their stories told. I think that's something that needs to happen. Everybody keeps viewing this through the Vince WWE lens. And this isn't their story. This is something that's happened to these people. And they deserve to have their stories told. And they came out firing today. It makes me wonder if there's going to be some things happening in the case. I mean, I think the timing's interesting with the documentary and everything, but we'll see what happens. But this is serious business. I mean, their law firm was, I mean, the representatives with Grant are serious, and this is definitely a serious media firm. This is big time. And I don't think things are going to be getting easier for WWE. I don't think things are going to be getting easier for Vince, John Laurinaitis, for Colker, or Peak Wellness.
I think that the the approach they're taking with spinning the narrative is really good. WWE has always been very good at trying to control a narrative. Even when they didn't do a great job of it, they've always done a good job controlling it. And especially when it relates to Vince. So I think the fact that Janelle Grant's, for lack of a better term, team is out there trying to say, this is her story. We're not side characters in this. This is her story. I like that, because that Vince documentary is going to eat up a lot of oxygen coming up soon. How can it not? So the fact that they're trying to be proactive and get out ahead of it is smart. And I think that going on the offensive with this is the right move in this case.
Yeah. I was pretty disturbed that they had like kind of a 5-minute mention of it in the beginning from one of the people that had a pre-screener. I think Thurston talked to him. Brandon Thurston actually had this in a story that he talked to somebody who had seen a pre-screener for it, and they just didn't tell him any details. He didn't leak any details, but said there's 6 episodes, I believe, or maybe it was 4. And there's 5 minutes mentioned of the sex scandals in the beginning, one of the first minutes, like for like 5 minutes. In the first episode, then the last episode is dedicated to the scandals. I'm just like, I just found that kind of really distasteful. To Brandon's credit, Netflix PR went after him in his own Twitter mentions, you know, wanting him to like take this down, saying he was in violating an embargo, and he, you know, rightfully, you know, responded, that's ridiculous. I didn't get a screener. I'm not part of your embargo. it's like, I didn't do anything here. I mean, he could have probably wrote it out word for word if he got the report. They can't do anything to him on that. That was just ridiculous. That did not show me good faith from Netflix that this is going to be on the up and up.
I don't know what they get out of actually. I don't know what Netflix is getting out of actually showing the documentary. I don't know either.
If I were them, I would have
just sold the damn thing to another streamer, to like fucking Paramount.
Sell to Amazon or something, you know? Yeah. Plus, this is the problem, is what's Netflix now? They're going to be the main carrier of WWE Raw for the next 5 years. So there, that's tainted. Who else is involved in this documentary? Bill Simmons, noted massive, huge WWE fan, whose Andre the Giant documentary was, you know, basically a fiction, about how, Hogan's worried that Andre's not going to do the job, you know. Yeah, sure. There's just a lot of problems with this. I haven't seen it. I'll give it a fair chance. But I know that they've interviewed I know Dave Meltzer was interviewed before and after the scandal broke. So I trust Dave very much to say, you know,
what's I thought Dave mind. Said that he got interviewed. He did not get interviewed after the scandal broke. And in fact,
oh, really?
I was of the impression. Now, I could be wrong. You guys feel free in the comments or whatever, correct me, but I got the impression that nobody was interviewed afterwards, although they did try. They sent feelers out to Janelle Grant's team to be interviewed for, but that never came to fruition.
They didn't really interview
anybody afterwards.
I sent feelers out to Steven Spielberg once. It never, you know, it didn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
But I think they didn't get any other wrestlers or other personalities to appear after the scandal broke. They couldn't get anybody to talk after that. I do believe that Dave came back and did some interviews with him for Matt. I'm pretty solid on that.
Okay.
And I think they got some other people. I think David Showman, who he's supposed to be a wrestling historian. You know, he only
David Schumacher.
Shoemaker. Like,
Schumacher, whatever his name is. The guy used the fiefdom word during, you know, he described territories as fiefdoms on the Andre the Giant documentary. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
He's a ringer guy. He does.
Ringer's like Ryan Satin North or something. I don't know. It's totally ridiculous how they even approach the wrestling business. There's little to no curiosity about it. Watch Mike and JD. Don't go to the ringer ever.
Mike and I know some of those guys at Ringer, and I hate to bury their stuff, but they're just WWE fans. They're not wrestling fans, they're WWE fans, and they're very happy to toe the corporate line, because like then you get all those WWE perks, and you get the legental blessings. You know, he genuflex in front of
the
you.
Legental.
Like you get treated legent. You get treated legently. Like that's mine. I'm claiming that one.
That guy, man. Somebody was posting yesterday ripping them, and I guess, you know, they were talking about Janelle. They're going to have a huge press conference about this thing, and all these, you know, Ringside News posted it. You know, it's like, oh, they're part of the Legentil Mafia, I guess. You know, whatever. I've emailed the guy asking for comment. He's never sent me anything. I got to say, I'm totally surprised that he's never sent me anything asking for questions.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Asking me
Shocked that he doesn't want to talk to you, man. I mean,
I don't know why WWE hasn't ever want to talk to me. I did send, the only time I've ever really, you know, everyone's like, you know, you just want a job in a business. I'm like, hell no. I've covered this thing for 20 years. You think I'd want to work in this business?
Here's the thing, though. People say that to everybody to disarm the argument. If you are against the WWE machine, clearly you just want to be a part of them. So you're angry that you're not a part of them. So that's why you're mean, because you just want to be in. You're
they think idiots. That, and they're like, that'd be my dream, working for WWE. And I'm kind of like, yeah.
Have I'll you ever met anybody stories, that used bud. To? It's like, have you ever met anybody that used to work for WWE? Why would I want that life? Like, that was a miserable life for a lot of people.
Ask anybody. I mean, I know people who still feel it's the end-all, be-all. I mean, but that number is shrinking huge. I mean, the wrestlers, the people joining wrestling training camps today, you know, for the last 10 years, they're joining them not because they wanted to be John Cena. They joined them because they wanted to be Shinsuke Nakamura. They wanted to be Hiroshi Tanahashi. They wanted to be the Young Bucks. They wanted to be Dean Ambrose / John Moxley. They wanted to be, you know, they wanted to be Okada. That's the guys that are who are training today. That's one reason why you're seeing college athletes getting pulled into WWE system, because they're not brainwashed into thinking that WWE is the NFL of pro wrestling. Well, in some ways it is, but it's not the only. It's like trying to say that there's only one genre of film. You know, you only have action movies, or you only have rom-coms, or you only have horror movies, you know, or you only have Westerns. It's pro wrestling is different. And, you know, they've lost that war. And especially after, you know, this deal's done, they've lost it completely. And it's just, listen to these people. It's just like, I did send a job application as a joke once. I was noticing we were getting, when I was at TWNP News about 20 years ago, the guy who ran a site, Kevin Romano, who's got one of the craziest 9/11 stories ever. He lives in Brooklyn, but he kind of gave me my start writing for his site. We were both a couple dumb kids, and but he noticed at noon around lunchtime we were getting all these like traffic from WWE domains, like WWE.com's domain, coming in looking at the news, and so I just like made a fake web. They were hiring screenwriters at the time, and I tried to make a screenwriting thing based on my writing at TWNP, and sent them a bunch of clips of columns I wrote, like, you know, basically about Katie Vick and stuff, just as a kind of as a troll, because I knew they were reading my stuff. I thought it'd be funny. I was like, okay, well, I'll send this application. It was back when it took like 2 hours to send an application and through something or through an email. But you know, that was the only time I've ever done anything as far as like as a work, was as a gag, and I only showed it to the guys at the website. They thought it was funny. But it's just like, listen to these people. And it's like, I mean, I don't know how anybody would want to ever actually work in the business. It's actually talk to anybody that worked in the business. It's just, it's no, never. Not in my life.
I saw something on our Discord. I think it was our Discord or our Slack. I forget which, Mike, where someone said, hey, remember when they got Lance Storm to get rid of his school, gave him a job and fired him 4 months later?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were mad because he was turning out better people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember what they did to Steve Corino's sister? They moved her all the way. She had to give up like her whole life, moved to Florida, and then they fired her like almost immediately, like right after she started during the pandemic. Yeah.
Well, they released this is what happens when I'm tired enough. Zack Ryder,
Matt Cardona.
I don't think I've ever been watching him as Zack Ryder, but I know him as Matt Cardona because he's an amazing indie person. You know, he's killing it on indies. But I think he got released right when his fiance, a wrestler, who's he married to?
Chelsea.
Yeah, she was pregnant in the middle of the pandemic. She couldn't wrestle or do anything, and they released him while she was pregnant.
I don't think
that's accurate.
Someone fact check that for us.
There was somebody there.
It happened with somebody. I don't think it was them because I think
it's just like they are the worst people on earth. It's just like
they're the worst people on earth. I agree with that.
It's like they can't get. It's like Jade Cargill. Like everybody that brings her on tries to get her to talk trash about AEW, and she won't. She's grateful for her time there. And one of it's because she's classy. Two is when she went to NXT and they tried to bring her in and they said, you're going to have to drop every sponsorship you have through fitness modeling. You're going to have to, your days staying at home with your daughter during the day are over. You're not going to see your, you know, Brandon Phillips or fiance, husband, boyfriend. I'm not sure what their status is now. You're not going to see him hardly at all. You're going to move down here. This is going to be your new family. And she's like, screw you.
Yeah,
I'm making more now than I would be on your contract. So she went to AEW, and like you're never going to hear her talk. You're not going to hear a lot of these people talk bad about AEW because it's like working for a real place.
It's only the real malcontents like CM Punk and Ethan Page that are bad mouthing AEW on the way out.
I understand Ethan Page. He probably deserves some opportunities and stuff, and he's probably saying some things to get ahead. But CM Punk is just. But the thing is like CM Punk, though, he's turning. I mean, he's a galactic asshole. I mean, what else there's to say about this guy? I mean, he brought up a 4-month-old story about Jack Perry that nearly buried his career just to cover up the fact that he was being a jerk and locking people out of a show. Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. And it's like, this is the guy who hated WWE. You know, this is the guy who said this was the company that tried to kill him, and he always wanted to go back the minute he got to AEW. It's like, that's the kind of people that are loyal to that place. Thanks. I don't want nothing to do with it.
I don't think he actually ruined Jack Perry's career. I think he actually might have saved Jack
Perry. I think in the end it probably did, but Jack's mind, it didn't work that way because he was kept off TV for 6 months.
But he was able to really find himself and find a side of himself that I don't think any of us really knew he had. And I think I'll tell you what, man, every time I see that dude in the city of Chicago, he's got like Shawn Michaels in Montreal heat for the rest of time. So it's worked out pretty good.
I really wish Ghetto was booking AEW at times because I'll never forget watching. I love Ghetto. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I'm a 2010s New Japan mark. But I just remember him coming out with the security for that New Japan Strong show or that New Japan show in Chicago.
Well, I was there.
And he's got the Chicago flag. And and I mean, oh my God. That was, we want to go to war with you, Heat.
And it was.
It was epic. And it's like, I wish he still had that in AEW. It just for some reason, the way things work creatively there, they're not able to keep that, but I'm not even sure if they could sustain it. But
just here, only here is a place. Only here in Chicago is the only place.
You were at that show, weren't you?
I was at that show. I was at the New Japan show, and I was at All Out with him. And he had it all out. It was pretty impressive. I think he did come out with the security team then too for that. Like he's got something there with this. Especially like I said, he's gonna be. He could be a beloved baby face everywhere in the country, but he'll come back here. And people be like, fuck you, Jack Perry.
That's fine with me.
Me too.
I'll say it's back Jack Perry. The funny thing about his character and everything is like it's the furthest from reality. He's like the easiest guy to get along. You know, it's like you can look at old, you know, I mean, I think even Punk tweeted a long time ago. It was like, if you can't get along with Jack Perry, who can you get along with? You know, he's got a really good. Well, we saw how that worked out. Yeah. But he's actually, his family, Luke Perry's actually from Ohio, and he's kind of more of got a Midwest vibe to him. He grew up around his dad and really tight with his family. He's kind of more laid back from what I've heard. I've never met the guy, but, I'm happy that he was able to turn this into something where he got, you know, a lot of heat and got to live the villain fantasy of all, you know, that was like a Tillman level event, but, anyway.
It was good stuff. Hey, since we got you here, I was going to let you go early, but I mean, I know you're tired, but we're almost done. I'm just going to keep you on for the full hour, if you don't mind.
I'm usually at work right now, so it's
fine. Oh, okay.
I'm on my way back.
Yeah. So a couple more questions. What do you make of this whole JD brought it up earlier, but Stephen P. New lawsuit with Kevin Kelly and the boys
I never
against AEW?
I asked some people about the Tates, and it was funny. I got different the responses I got was most people liked working with him. This is, I don't know anything other than what I've been told by certain people. And one I've talked to was, he said, he goes, he believes that Dalton didn't really fight hard enough for them in Ring of Honor. And they were really important to how his gimmick worked.
And I heard that he did not like them, by the way. I've heard that he does not like those guys.
That wouldn't surprise. I mean, with the way, I don't know. I'm not backstage, so I don't know. I only know what I've been told. And that they were more or less upset that Tony said that they had missed dates. They claimed they hadn't, and they wanted an apology. Now, the Kevin Kelly stuff, you know, everybody's got a case in these things when you're in a civil case. I don't know if, you know, Ian, I mean, I don't think Kevin Kelly performed that well when he was on TV with AEW. I think that's pretty much a standard opinion. That was disappointing to me because Kevin Kelly was my favorite announcer of all time when he was in New Japan. I thought he was an artist when it came to calling ring psychology and calling that style of match. I wish that could have worked out. But I don't see how this is going to work. Steven knew, he seems to have this thing where he's, you know, he wants to represent wrestlers against companies and things like that. I think he was representing, you know, some other ROH wrestlers, you know, a few years ago and some things, but, you know, just analyzing the case, it's like, you got to look for damages. And, you know, Kelly's damages will be, you know, you're in, you know, I think he's, Ian Riccaboni's also part of that suit. You could say, well, you slandered me in his Discord chat. That affected my career. I don't think saying that I didn't get to call Sting's last match is all that big of a reality, but that's something a lawyer would add. Now, people,
I'm gonna sue Tony Khan about that because I wanted to call his last match. Yeah. We had a whole podcast series about Sting, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, but I remember the first time I was on here, we were talking about Sting.
Yeah,
that was a great pod. That was the best podcast I've ever been on. I loved it. No. But it was us ripping people that hated Sting.
Yeah,
I'll do that all day long.
Yeah.
But you know, it goes to whatever the judge finds in the damages and things like that. I mean, I don't think Kevin's case is as strong. I mean, whatever comes down for evidence, I think it's going to come down with the Tate is like, okay, can you prove that you showed up for these dates and that he didn't slander you when he said you weren't showing up for dates and that's why you were fired? Yeah. That's what it comes down to. But at the same time, these contracts they're basically at will if you violate them in certain ways. And I don't know if they've done that. I know Kevin was very vocal on Twitter before he was released. That could possibly affect his case. I don't know. But looking at it through the civil lens, which is you're looking at injury. How did this person injure you? And can the court bring relief to you? You know, and what it is these guys are saying, Tony slandered us. He said we didn't show up for our dates. That's hurt our reputation. We need relief, aka money.
Well, and they're also saying, challenging the independent contractor rule, saying that that they were released, they were fired, and they shouldn't have been fired, and they're owed the rest of their contract money. I believe that's what they're trying to do by challenging the independent contractor rule, which, as we all know, the independent contractor, wrestlers are absolutely employees. Okay.
Yes.
WWE controls your entire life when you work for them. And AEW less so, TNA less so, but they should still be employee status.
Yes, they should all be employees. I mean,
I agree with that. But as an independent contractor, as an employee, when you're fired, you're not owed the rest of your contract. Whether you're an employee or an independent contractor,
it depends on what the contract. It depends on what the contract says. Because if you have a contract, if you're not fired for like a good cause, then you're owed the rest of them. You have to do a contract buyout at that point. Depending on what the contract says, none of us know what it says.
Usually there's some kind of arbitrary discovery. You know, if there's a fire without cause and the contract ends early, usually you'll have lawyers that go to arbitration and they'll argue for some kind of settlement. And that's what happens.
That's what they want.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's what the company wants too. Ideally, if you're an employee, you don't go through the arbitration process. This is exactly what's happened in the Grant case. They wanted WWE and Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis were all trying TKO. All they believe Janelle Grant's sexual assault claim should be tried in a by the rules of her contract and arbitrate in an arbitration hearing, like you would if you were arguing for vacation days, you know? Yeah. So it's, to me, the case, it's, I don't, it, we'll see what happens. I don't know News record for getting people. I haven't really followed him that much. I don't know his record as far as success in lawsuits. I know he was involved with a few clients in West Virginia and was part of the opioid claim there. But other than that, we'll see what happens. I just think that the independent contractor rule has to go in pro wrestling. I think it's time for it to go. Maybe that's something with money that Tony will feel comfortable doing.
Yeah. Or if they're going to keep it, because they, like, a lot of companies aren't going to be able to, like TNA, for example, is not going to be able to afford to be able to have all their talent as employees, right? Paying health insurance, doing all this stuff. So, but in that company specifically, they can basically work anywhere with very few exceptions. They can work wherever they want with a few exceptions when they're not working the contracted dates. With AEW, you can work some indie dates. They have more control over your indie dates. They have control over what you can do on those indie dates. And then they do have some places that you can't go. Like, you can't go and work for WWE. Or if, like, you have, like, if there's, like, an enemy of one of their friends, you probably don't want to work for them either. And then there are certain people that are, that won't lose.
The real abuser of it, and I know you're coming up to it.
So if they're not going to be employees, then they have to be like, hey, when you're not like a plumber, like, hey, you can't tell your plumber, like, hey, if you're working on my house, you can't work on my neighbor's house because he's an asshole. Like, you can't do that. So it has to be something like that, where they're like, okay, well, when you're not working our dates, you're free to go do whatever you want. You can have your OnlyFans page. You can have your podcast. You can do TV. You can do movies.
AEW,
Ring of Honor, CMLL, whatever you want.
I mean, but the independent contractor issues have really come up with WWE and WCW back in the days. And what's really kept it from ever getting to court and going long enough is it's just so expensive. It's hard to get wrestlers to be able to buy in that long and not just take the settlement. Yeah. And WWE's really been the one that's kind of, you know, they're more traditional in the way they handle it. They don't handle it like AEW does, where, hey, if you want to work some indie dates, depending on who you are and the kind of contract you have, you can go do that. I mean, John Moxley, I think, worked for every indie in the country while he's been under contract. Yeah. But to me, this is not really the best case to try the independent contractor status with. There's just other issues involved with what happened here. And, you know, it's, we'll see what happens. I think, and I wouldn't be surprised if both guys end up in TNA or MLW, something like that.
I don't think the boys are coming to TNA. I think they had an opportunity and they didn't work out. MLW probably, but, or NWA maybe, but NWA would make more sense because NWA does a lot of tapings in Nashville anyway. And I think that's like where they're from. So that would make, but I don't see TNA. At that point, hey, you're in Ohio. Are Haitians eating your dogs?
Damn it, you took my joke.
They're eating our dogs. They're eating our cats. I've been writing a lot about this on Twitter, and as usual, when I start opening my mouth, I go viral.
Yeah,
and I even had some people at work talking about it because I'm like, BJ, you used to know a lot about Springfield. Let me tell you about my story with Springfield and the Haitians. You know, about 2 years ago, I was working at a TV station, and it wasn't working out for me. And I went and took a job at a local warehouse job, and it was in Springfield, Ohio. I went over there, and about a quarter of the workforce in the warehouse was Haitian. Almost all of them spoke decent English, pretty good English. I got to have conversations with them. They actually showed up for work, and I never seen one bring a cat or a dog in for lunch. And that's just an outright vicious, terrible, horrible lie. And, you know, some cultures eat dogs and cats, but guess what? One of them's not the Haitians, you know? And this is just such a horrible situation because they're now having bomb threats called in from, Governor Mike DeWine. He's the governor of Ohio. He's, you know, they're getting, most of these bomb threats are coming in from overseas, most likely probably Russia, at least my guess. I called his office and tried to get them to tell me, and they're like, no, we're not identifying the country. But, you know, it's, you know, they're under all this pressure. They're getting bomb threats. They're adding, you know, Wittenberg's universities there. It's a really solid, I think they're Division II college program as far as football and sports go. They're having to cancel games because of this. So you got seniors that are losing out on their career. You got people that are scared. You now you got Vivek, I can't even pronounce the idiot's name. He's from Cincinnati and he ran for president for 5 minutes. Vivek Ramaswamy or whatever his name was, holding a town hall. Yeah, whatever this jackass is, you know, he was holding a town hall there tonight. And then, you know, Trump says he's going to come in the next 2 weeks. And it's like, this is after the mayor came in and said, look, we don't need any presidential candidates coming here right now. We're under the gun because of you. And yeah. it's a terrible, horrible thing what's happened there. And, you know, and J.D. Vance, I've been in a room with the guy once, and to me, he's kind of the tech bro-ish, really super awkward to be around. I read his book when it came out. I identified with a lot of his background, what he talked about in his book, but man, he turned out to be rotten. I mean, just to admit you lie about something like this and pour this kind of heat on a town that's an hour away from your hometown, an hour away to do something like this, the people that have never done a thing to you, where almost every one of these migrants are legal, 98-99%, where none of the things you say are happening are true. The crime rate's down in Springfield, even with more people there. They're trying to say STDs are up. Those are down. It's pressing the system because there's more people there, but that's natural. And that, yes, people should have helped with that. But this is just flat out the worst kind of Father Coughlin, David Duke nonsense you can imagine. And it's just seeing this happen so close to a place where I have a lot of friends and where I've worked at and where, heck, my band practiced there every week for a long time. Just, it's heartbreaking. And, I've reported a lot on Vance. I think, you know, his total background and, you know, he's not a very good guy. His career is going to be over when he loses this election. You know, he's going to be on some podcast, you know, getting, you know, on YouTube with one viewer, you know, screaming it.
I resent that, BJ. Hold on.
We actually resemble that.
Hey, it's more viewers and more podcasts than I got. That may be changing, however. But just J.D. Vance is just, you know, no one in Middletown even likes him. I can't find anybody in Middletown. I'll still vote for him and they support him, you know, because he's not a Democrat or whatever. But like Rob Portman was considered the biggest rhino in Ohio, and Middletown is extremely, extremely conservative. Yeah. And Rob Portman beat a former Democrat sitting governor who was popular by 60 points in Middletown in the two counties that make up that area. Vance did half of that against a congressman who was from Youngstown on the other side of the state. That tells you everything you need to know about J.D. Vance is how his hometown feels about him. And I can understand why.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, and I know we kind of took a turn into politics a little bit.
Wow. Did we go off?
Well, and that's completely my fault, by the way. I got BJ wound up, which was by design. But
it's not that hard to do.
But BJ is a legit reporter for a legit news organization there in Dayton, right? Is where you're at.
I'm working in Cincinnati now.
Oh, you're in Cincinnati now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Cincinnati. I'm out of Dayton. I've reported in Dayton for years. I mean, I've had tons of stories in the Springfield newspaper. I mean, my friend was an editor there. One of my best friends, you know, came out of there. You know, I'm really, my media company owned that paper. They were sister publications with the paper I worked at, you know, and this is a very artistic town. The Gish sisters from silent film era were two biggest stars in the world at one point are from Springfield. Braxton Miller's from Springfield, Trey DePriest from Springfield. There's hundreds of professional wrestlers that are from Springfield. There's hundreds of jazz artists are from Springfield. John Legend, he's from Springfield. You know, he's diehard Springfield. You know, when their football team is having, when he gets time, he takes his private jet and zips out to wherever Springfield's football team's playing at so he can go watch them. And he'll drag Chrissy Teigen with him. Like, that's how into his hometown he is. And, you know, this is a town that not only just, you know, suffering this, but, you know, they were really hit hard by, you know, offshoring. They were really hit hard by the opioid crisis. It's still a problem there. But, you know, they've managed to jump back. They got Navistar and some other manufacturing companies. They're kind of a center for drone research and things like that with the military. That's kind of a designation they've gotten in the area. And they had a lot of good things going for them. And to see this cheap shot thrown at them by two assholes that are running around, and, you know, I'm glad we got to see who they really are. And if people vote these two idiots into office, then you deserve what we get. I guess we deserve what we get, but I don't see that happening now. You know, all because he got baited by Kamala Harris about crowd size. He starts going off about, you know, eating the cats and dogs like, you know, some lunatic running around naked in the street, whatever, you know. And it's just a sad situation. It's personal to me. I mean, I live real close to there. I mean, the 11-year-old boy they talk about who got killed in the car crack, it was a bus, it was an accident. I've driven on and out down that road dozens of times. I've been past that same intersection, you know. But this, what's happened to that city is just, it's bullshit. It's a scandal. And frankly, you know, you want to talk about slander, you want to talk about things like that, you want to talk about class action suits. I think the city of Springfield, I think the people living there have one against, you know, the two people that are causing these problems.
100%. That's my JD, take on you it. Had something?
I was going to say, between Vance and the butthole from New York, it's a really rough time to be named JD.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a good time for JD's.
The Gentle Crew has had a rough couple days, man.
Hitting the crossfire left and right here.
Hey, before we close it out, did you guys watch Jericho versus Orange Cassidy last night? This will be our last topic. Yeah. When you guys were watching that match, were you just sitting there like thinking to yourself, what would it sound like if Judas was a country song? Did that ever cross your guys' mind?
No.
No? Well, if it did cross your mind, I have you, JD. Here's what it would sound like if Judas was sang by Waylon Jennings. Here we go.
You are beautiful on the inside. You are innocence personified. And I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow. I have carved out the soul made of stone. And I will drag you down and sell you out.
Wait till the chorus is.
Embraced by the darkness, I'm losing the light. Encircled by demons, I fight. What have I become now? Now that I've betrayed.
You are the master of AI. I'll give you that. Michael, I need you to tweet this and tag Chris Jericho.
I did.
I need you to find the Web is Jericho guy. Yeah. He has to hear this. Like, we have to. Yeah. If our show does nothing else for the rest of its existence, this needs to be heard by Chris Jericho. I need this in my life. I need it.
I tweeted him. I tagged him multiple times and nothing. But a couple of days ago in the TNA thread on the Voices of Wrestling Discord, they were, I can't remember, somebody was saying like, oh, TNA now needs like a hipster to come out and hit people with ukulele since they don't have Jeff Jarrett anymore. And someone said, oh, they can just bring in Jack Johnson. And then somebody said, well, what would it sound like if Jack Johnson sang My World? So I made that, and Jeff Jarrett retweeted it, and the My World account retweeted it. So it's gotten like a couple thousand views. So that's been kind of nice. After I did that, I don't know why I thought this. I was like, because I'm an idiot, let's be honest. So I was just sitting there like, what if Judas was a country song? And like, no other sick human being would think of something like this to me. I'm the only idiot.
Jericho hates country. He's not going to respond to that.
I know, but did you?
That's why it's great.
I'm going to retweet the video. You guys go look. I made a little thing on iMovie on my phone, and I put there's a picture floating around the internet of Jericho dressed as a cowboy. So I was able to put that on a background that said Judas.
Oh, I saw that when you put it out, and I saw it at work last night, and I believe it was last night, correct?
Yeah, it was last night.
And I saw that, and I'm staring at it, and I'm also getting ready to get into a busy chunk of my evening, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, I know if I click this, I'm demolished the rest of the night.
You are.
Everybody's going to be looking at me knowing that I'm not working right now because I'm laughing.
Yeah.
So I let it pass. I'm glad I did, because then I got to hear it with you guys. But I just, oh my God. If that doesn't, I'm ready for Skynet just to kill all of us after hearing.
Look, I fully acknowledge that AI is completely evil. I get it. However,
you owe Chris Jericho an apology.
It does make for fun bits for the show.
Sure does.
My brother, I should tell you, when ChatGPT started, he was running different wrestling storyline scenarios and spamming them to Reddit. And one of them was Ric Flair asks, it was a 1992 wrestling storyline of Ric Flair asks Attorney General Janet Reno out on a date at a bar.
Yeah.
So his way of fun of having with AI was to do that kind of thing. And I got to say, you did a better job of that. You at least made some music, but I don't want to tell you what the, I don't want to tell you what the other thing was like, but it's, you know, a lot of people are finding some fun with it. I'm glad. Yeah. But you know, I'll probably be out of business in another couple of years, but yeah. Wow. Judas
in my mind. BJ Bethel, where can everybody follow your social media at?
You can follow me at BJ Bethel Tweets on Twitter, and please revisit my past appearances on the JD Oliva and Mike Gilbert podcast. JD and Mike, you guys are great. I love being on here.
Thank you.
Search me up, especially the Sting episode, man.
Yeah, we
took it. I believe Sting finally got into Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm. He did, yes.
I don't know if it was because of us, but I'm glad that we did that episode.
Taking credit for it.
Taking credit for it, even if it happened before we did that episode.
Doesn't matter. It's ours now.
Yes, yeah. We own that. You're welcome, yeah. Sting. Mm-hmm. But you can follow me at BJ Bethel Tweets on Twitter. That's usually where I'm at. And you can, yeah, that's about it for me as far as social media right now.
And you can also read his work on SE Scoops. And yes. Are you allowed to name the paper that you work at Cincinnati or no?
I'm going to keep that private.
Okay. Yeah. No biggie. So you can read his wrestling stuff at SE Scoops. He's always got a couple stories going on up there. And as always, if you guys want to
about Nigel McGuinness, there's a column on Nigel McGuinness I wrote. I was actually covering HWA developmental when he was there.
Oh, cool.
And I talk about a really funny angle that happened with him I think they were trying to work everybody, and they did a good, great job of it. And Nigel's a brilliant guy. I'm glad to see him wrestling again. Also, you can get the latest on Janelle Grant and what's happening with that. We wrote about that today too. So, cool. Thanks for having me on, guys. You're wonderful, and you two the best.
Thank you. And
it's always a privilege.
Thanks, BJ. Everybody go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. That's where you can get all of our premium content. I think I put up like 3 stories this week, just covering all the news. No original news, but just kind of commenting on what's going on in the world. Quoted BJ Bethel, of course, with the big TV story with AEW. Also, Brace for Impact this coming up Saturday. We've got a lot to talk about there.
One other thing.
News in the TNA world.
One thing. Well, all you jackasses in June who said I was lying, I bookmarked every single one of your replies.
Yes.
I'm about to go Jay and Silent Bob strike back.
Yes.
Not really, but I just thought it'd be funny to say.
You anyway. Are the ones who are the ball lickers. Jay and Silent Bob strike back.
I just love that movie, and I had to like think of a way to throw it in there. But guys, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, BJ.
I don't know if I'll forgive you for what you did to Judas, but you know, thanks for having me on. It's been.
Is there something left for me to say in the wreckage of my life?
Competition's starting to get thick, it's a click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A.
Hello everyone, my name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast.
Podcast Network.